This is Wetlands Radio, a series about coastal restoration. I'm Eve Abrams. Today, episode 4. We're number one. Maybe you didn't know. I certainly didn't know. But Louisiana is a world leader in coastal restoration. I asked coastal ecosystem expert Don Bosch about this.
Well, it has to be number one because they had a gun to their head.
Meaning our land loss is so extreme, Louisiana had to do something. This is the story of what it did. We're going to stick with Don for a moment, so a wee bit about him. These days, Don has white hair and a short box beard and mustache. A network of laugh lines frame his eyes when he's smiling, which he often does. Don grew up in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans. He studied biology and marine science and ran Louisiana's first marine laboratory, known as LumCon. For 27 years, he presided over the University of Maryland's Center for Environmental Science. And that's what he was up to in 2010, when BP's Deepwater Horizon rig exploded and oil started gushing, unchecked, into the Gulf.
I was rapt about where the oil was going because it was going to places that I knew and places that I could pronounce better than the people on television.
One day, Don was in a meeting.
And I get an email from my executive assistant saying, sorry to interrupt you. You really need to think you return this call as soon as possible. It's from the White House.
See, President Obama was setting up a committee to investigate the root causes of the BP oil disaster, and he wanted Don on it. Don agreed and says the committee was amazing. They uncovered a ton, made recommendations, and when they were done, Don thought his duty was over. But then he got another call, this time from the U.S. Department of Justice, who was suing BP for violations of the Clean Water Act. They asked Don,
how about being a witness? So I was the government's key witness on the environmental impacts in the case,
which was presided over by federal judge Carl Barbier.
Who, turns out, we went to the same high school for a while, and he was a year older than me. I don't think he knew me, but I knew him of a kind. You know, he's a New Orleans guy. He likes the outdoors.
In other words, Don knew how to talk to him.
You know, if I got as a scientist on the stand and began talking about toxicity of infecting the chromosomes of this little fungulous fish, he would have not had a clue what I was talking about. But when I told the judge, you might be aware of these cockahoe minnows, which he knew because if you're fishermen in Louisiana, you use them for bait. So he sits forward and listens to that, and then I was able to explain to him why the toxic effects on them was important to the food chain. And he started asking questions. Now, I didn't know this, but they told me later that when the judge starts asking questions, if you're on the other side, you're in trouble because you can't object to their questions. I object to that question. You can't do that with the judge.
Now, Judge Barbier didn't decide the case. Instead, he told BP,
you don't want me to have to decide. You better settle. And they did. So as a result of that, billions of dollars have gone into restoration in the Gulf.
Yeah, that seems to be the major funding source to do all of these restoration projects.
Right. So it made me even more interested in what they're doing with the money, because I feel it's kind of almost like my money, you know, I help get it.
What we're doing with the money is outlined in Louisiana's Comprehensive Plan for a Sustainable Coast, otherwise known as the Coastal Master Plan, a 50-year, $50 billion blueprint for, quote, large-scale efforts that are essential if we are to protect communities and sustain our landscape. I'm reading here from the 2012 Master Plan, by the way. They're updated every 6 years, and they list project after project aimed to restore our coast. These projects happen every year, are happening right now. And once they're funded, they go from the Master Plan into computer modeling to predict how these restoration projects change things. There are all sorts of projects.
We have barrier island restoration, there's hydrologic restoration,
river diversions, dredging,
structural protection,
shoreline protection, marsh creation,
levees, water control structures.
What Louisiana is number one in is our coastal master plan.
This is Clint Wilson, Dean of LSU's College of the Coast Environment.
It's a science and engineering-based plan that is specifically aimed at prioritizing projects that either build or maintain land on our coast or reduce the risk to our industries or our communities.
And who, you may wonder, writes this plan? Brad Miller works for them and starts us off.
CPRA has a P and R in it. The P is protection, the R is restoration. CPRA. So not only do we rebuild wetlands, we're also responsible for the protection of the citizens on the coast.
Going backwards a little bit, CPRA, the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, was created after Hurricane Katrina.
When there was such damage caused by the hurricane, and for the first time a realization that you can't just manage flood protection and coastal restoration separately, you had to bring them together. So we created, Governor Blanco created this Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority.
We've entered a new era of coastal protection, with reminders all around us of the tragic results of inadequate flood protection.
This, of course, is Governor Blanco, addressing the first CPRA board meeting in January 2006, just 5 months after Katrina.
Our citizens are looking for the confidence that comes only from a strong and safe system of protection. Your work is critical for the future of Louisiana. We must get this right.
And many would argue, in the 20 years since Katrina, we have. Ali Olsonoski of the Environmental Defense Fund gives a presentation on this very topic in a huge, echoey auditorium.
Despite the fact that Louisiana might have a reputation for a variety of different things around the country, what is very cool and what has been a hallmark of CPRA and their entire program is that all of this work is based in science.
Ali says lots of really smart people work hard to ensure that the funding we have, again, most of it from BP, is used to get the best possible results.
Say what you will about other things that we got going on, but the coastal program is very special and very unique in that the projects you see in this master plan are backed by hard data and with a very robust methodology.
And one of the things that's done, to Louisiana's credit, is it's been able to maintain, until now anyway, some pretty strong political consensus. These plans have to be endorsed by the legislature, and they have.
Again, Don Bosch, marine scientist and key environmental witness against BP.
And the other thing about it, which I have to say, I can say this as a native, it was very unexpected and uncharacteristic of Louisiana to have this plan that's based on science. But they did. So the fact that it's been science-based and it's managed to also get this political consensus is a very important but precious thing. It's delicate.
And in today's politics, endangered. Some say the master plan is the greatest thing Louisiana's ever done. The question, to paraphrase Ben Franklin, is can we keep it? Next on Wetlands Radio, we start looking at specific ways Louisiana is restoring our coast.
When the Mississippi River levees were put in, the river didn't have that opportunity to flow in different directions and deposit this material naturally. And so the river diversion projects that are being proposed under the state of Louisiana are trying to mimic what would have happened in the naturally occurring environment.
That's next time on Wetlands Radio. Wetlands Radio was reported and produced by me, Eve Abrams. Editing help from Rosemary Westwood, Rachel Berg, Anne Gislason, Maria Lovejoy, Garrett Hazelwood, Melody Chang, and Lane Kaplan-Levinson. Original music was written and performed by Greg Schatz. Mastering by Evan Satanovich. Thanks to our partners, BITNEP, the Barataria Terrebonne National Estuary Program, and WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. To hear all 12 episodes in Wetlands Radio, head to wwno.org or bitnep.org. That's btnep.org.